Is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Yesterday, man said to me, said, how can you smile when your world is crumbling down? I said, here's my secret. When I want to cry, I take a look around and I see that I'm getting by. Then I hold on. Change is coming. Hold on. Don't you worry, just hold right on. You can make it, hold on. Everything, don't worry about from the pain inside. That's why I love this church. Do whatever you want to do. Cause if it don't work out, here's what you ought to do. Now just hold on. Change is coming. Hold on. Don't worry. Hold on. You can make it. Hold on. Everything. La la. Bit in my spirit. I didn't want to get that out of me.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get your Bibles, if you will. Turn them to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 3. Recorded are these words. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, you can't fix what you can't face. You can't fix what you can't face. Turn to your neighbor and encourage your neighbor. Say, neighbor,
did you know
that you can't fix what you can't face? Now, if you believe that, just give the Lord some praise today. I believe within the confines of these scriptures, we're going to find some helpful, holy hints as to how we're able to face the issues of life face on and then fix them from here on. I think it's important for us to understand there are several things found within this particular word. And if we look at verse 1, Jesus is giving a parable, and he gives it to this end, saying men ought always to pray and not faint. But somehow this word has been twisted out of its true meaning. It has not been interpreted correctly. Some folk have thought this to mean that you ought to pray the same prayer over and over again. Men ought always to pray and not faint. But what it means simply is that in every situation, about everything, we ought to pray and believe God for the answer. In other words, when you tell God all about your troubles, you don't have to continue telling him about the same troubles. He's not hard of hearing. There is no deficiency in his understanding. He got it the first time. And so when we hear this word, men ought always to pray, it opens our understanding to a wider revelation, which means every situation, circumstance, every day, I ought to be praying, but not praying the same thing. And so many folk miss God because they think that if God does not answer immediately, then either something was wrong with my prayer or with God's hearing. So therefore, I'll say it again. And so we need to realize that this is not at all what Jesus was talking about in this particular parable. What's clear is he's making sure that we understand a message of persistence, but not in praying the same thing, but praying continually. Because when we understand the revelation of this word, I believe it'll transform our prayer life and our petition life and understand how we ought to operate as relates to fixing things in our lives with the ability to face them. Verse 2 talks about there being a judge in this city who did not fear God, neither did he regard man. He wasn't scared of God. And as the old folks say, he wasn't studding about man. He didn't respect man. He didn't care nothing about what man thought about him or his process. He was the judge, and that was all there was to it. And then verse 3 says, and there was a widow in that city. And look at what the word says, because one of the things that I think we need to understand is, in order to face your adversary, in order to face your problem, in order to face your situation, may I suggest that this word connotes three different things that would be helpful to us. The first thing that you have got to do to you is acknowledge you got a problem. See, one of the problems that we have with fixing a situation is not even acknowledging we got a situation. We got a problem, but if we don't acknowledge that we have a problem, then there will be nothing much done to fixing the problem. Amen. The woman within herself acknowledged she had an issue, a problem, a situation. As a matter of fact, everybody that came to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look in the New Testament, they acknowledged to themselves, I've got a problem. Woman with the issue of blood, 12 years, went to all of the doctors, got none the better. But she said that if she could but touch the hem of his garment, she knew that blood problem would be fixed. She acknowledged she had a problem before she did what she did. Because here is what's important. After you acknowledge you've got a problem, you need to take some time out and assess the problem. Assess the problem. Why is this important? Because in assessing the problem, you find out how large the problem is, how long the problem's been going on, what needs to be done, and to whom you can bring that problem. You sit down and you deal with all of the extremities of that problem, and when you're through assessing that problem, then the next thing is most crucial, then you act upon that problem. That's how you face whatever it is you've got to face. If it's an enemy, if it's a situation, if it's a problem, first thing you recognize is, I got a problem. It may not necessarily be all spiritual. You might have a shopping problem. But before you fix that problem, you're going to have to face that problem. Wait. If I'm buying all of this stuff, and number one, I got to put it on credit cards. And I can't pay it out the next month. I got to pay monthly payments. Minimum payment. But yet I can't pass up a sale, which every day, everything is on sale. But you believe them when they say sale. Like they done said some revelatory word. You got a problem. Amen. Something's always going to come up, but when you prioritize shopping over paying your bills, paying your house note, paying the electric bill, you have got a problem. Maybe you ain't got to go to the mall. It might just be right on TV, HSN, QVC, something. Sister told me don't do it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to get up in your house. You might need to face you got a problem. It may not be a moral problem, but a problem is a problem is a problem. And if you're ever going to deal with that problem, you got to face, I've got a problem. Whether it was one you created or inherited, it's a problem. But assessing that problem is so crucial to understanding how you're going to fix this problem. Yeah, yeah. Because what you need to know is that everybody can't fix your problems. The problem must be person appropriate. You didn't get that, did you? If you're going to go to the person, you ought to go to the person who has the expertise to fix your problem. I should not go to my eye doctor talking about I got a toothache. Yes, he's a doctor, but he don't specialize in what I have need of. So there is a dentist who deals with that, appropriate for my problem, the right person for my problem. You know what one of our problems is? We tell the wrong people who can't do nothing about our problems, our problems. Now all you're doing is wasting your time and filling their ears with stuff they don't want to hear. Because number one, they can't do nothing about it. And then two, most of them don't care nothing about it. But you got to assess it and make sure you take it to the right place. And then you have got to act upon it. Verse 3 says, there was a widow in that city. And look at what the word says. And she came unto him, acted upon, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So first thing in fixing our problems is, one, you got to have a plan.
Yeah, that's all right.
Got to have a plan.
All right.
See, our problem is that we don't plan to fail. We fail to plan.
Come on, yes,
and many of us fly by the seat of our pants any way the wind blows. It's cool with me. The Lord gonna work it out somehow. Well, God wants to know, what do you think about it? Have you put principles or practice principles that are in place? What do you have to do with this situation? And how will you take it to the right place to be handled? Listen, this woman planned to go and see the judge. This judge that did not fear God nor regard man. But this woman planned to go and see him and tell him, the appropriate person who could fix her problem, what her problem was and what she wanted him to do about it. You see, a whole lot of folk, even when they go to the Lord, they don't really tell the Lord what they want him to do about it. They go to the Lord with these flowery words or words that they've heard from somebody else's prayer, but because it sounds good, you'll incorporate that in your prayer and you start saying stuff that other folk need, but you're just saying because it sounds good. And you go to him and you call him up, but you waste his time instead of telling him what you want. But here's the only problem. You need to make sure that what you want is in his will. Is according to his word. That petition has more to do with you obeying and aligning yourself with the will of God. Listen, this woman went to the right person and she requested the right thing. She's a widow. Her husband is dead. I don't know who her adversary was, but she didn't have a husband to lean on. The record doesn't tell us that she had a son that she could fall back on, or daughter for support. It suggests that she's here all by herself.
Yeah.
And she goes to this judge and she makes her request known unto him. Clear, simple, and plain. Avenge me of mine adversary. Now, what she was telling the judge is, listen, I need you to fix this problem I've got that I have been done wrong. I want you to make me equitable in this situation. I want you to protect me and do what the law says is your job to do for me. She went to the right person and called him to the carpet. Listen at this word now, because I want you to see this. She had a plan. She had a plan. She had a plan. But a plan don't mean nothing if you don't persistently pursue it. The Bible says, and he would not for a while. Y'all hear me here? Your Honor, I want you to avenge me of mine adversary. Judge looked up at her and went on about his business. And the Bible says, and he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, listen to this, I like when they talk to themselves. Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, listen to this, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Her persistence was continual. She pursued this situation. And see, here's where folks start thinking that Jesus said men ought always pray not to faint. So they says, well, maybe she just kept on praying. She just kept on praying. She just kept on praying. She just kept on telling the judge the same thing. She just kept on telling him what her problem was. No, the record is in verse 3, she said it one time. Follow me now. She said, avenge me of mine adversary, and she never said another word again. But here's what she did. She just showed up. The judge already knew what she wanted. The judge already knew while she was there. The judge already knew what her complaint was. The judge already knew things would not have gotten fixed unless this woman was willing to face him day after day, as he was the only one who could avenge her of her adversary. I looked up this word, troubleth me. And it means presenting herself continuously. Presenting herself. She troubled him because she wouldn't leave him alone. Now, you know the problem in this day and time could have been called stalking.
All right now.
Every day he opens up the courtroom, there he looks out, and who's there? He ignores her and go on with his docket, next case, and go through all that. The beginning, she's there. The middle, she's there. The end, she's there. Court's over. Next day, he come, open up the doors. Who's there? Golly. Won't this woman get a life? And because the word says, she troubleth him. Now, here's why. He says, I will avenge her. Listen, to her continual coming, she weary me. Trouble me in the beginning, weary me at the end. He counted up the cost. Listen, he's not afraid of God. He don't care nothing about man, but this woman is working his last nerves. She's so persistent, she ain't got nobody else she can turn to. She ain't got nobody else that can make the judge do what he needs to do. The only thing that she can do is just show up and show him that she's serious and sincere about him fixing her problems, and she's going to face it until something is done about it. Oh, my brothers and sisters, what a lesson we can learn. If we just understand there's much in our lives that can be fixed if we're willing to face it. You see, sometimes we might go up and say something. If it don't happen right then we turn around, walk away, and act like, well, ain't nothing going to be done about it. But when you persistently pursue it until you prevail, and that's point 3, she prevailed. She prevailed because she wouldn't give up. She wouldn't give up because she knew he was the only one she could go to. And because of that, she prevailed. And look at this, my brothers and sisters. What I love about this word is so rich and yet simplistic. He got tired of her persistence. You know, sometimes, and I'm going to just apply this to life, every now and then you see some unlikely couples. Very good-looking woman, severely unattractive man. And you say, Lord, how in the world did he get up? And I could go through a whole lot of things and use this kind of reason, that kind of reason. But can I tell you, most oftentimes it was because of his persistency. He wouldn't give up. He wasn't forceful, nasty, unkind, rude. He was loving and kind and gentle, and he just kept reminding in a way that instead of irking her, built up her curiosity. He didn't necessarily, you know, come with no foolishness like, I can turn the gray sky blue. I can make it rain whenever I want it to. I can build a castle with a single grain of sand. I can make ships sail on dry. Y'all hear me? But he just told her the truth. He just said, you are all right, now. So beautiful to me. And she went. And he go along those lines. And, you know, because she had a good looking fella who thought he was more good looking than her. Stayed in the mirror more than her, stayed at the beauty shop more than her, got his nails done like her. And he treated her like a dog. But he treated her like a queen. And she decided, you know what, I'd rather have someone to love me and treat me right than someone who just looked right on my side. Y'all gonna talk to me this morning, I go on and cut it off, but I'm trying to help you. When you really want something, you don't just give up at the first sign of rejection. Now if you're just talking smack, then yeah. Didn't work, go on, move on about your business. But if that is it, when you face the issue that bothers you, that you can't do anything about, but know the one who can, and if he doesn't do it, it can't be done. Then stay right there.